What is up, and welcome back to another episode of the Wizards Podcast. I'm your host, Greg Finberg, and today's gonna be a pretty training camp heavy episode. We're gonna be talking about the roster. The Wizards released a training camp roster. I want to kind of break it down. 21 people on the roster. I want to talk about the 15 that are gonna make the team. Some two-way guys as well. We had the upcoming schedule, so I'm gonna let what to expect with preseason, what to expect with the beginning of the regular season. As you know, Media Day was on Monday, so I want to talk about some of the best quotes from there. Some of my takeaways as somebody who I didn't get to go this year, unfortunately, but somebody kind of looking from afar, taking in all the content, all of the quotes that I was able to see on Twitter, and kind of bring it together into a couple of bullet points to summarize what happened at Media Day. And then I didn't think I was gonna have to add this at the end, but it happened yesterday. Ted Leons has made some pretty harsh comments about his former pal Brad Beal, in regards to the VA move, and I want to read that off and talk about it because I think it's a pretty big deal in the wider scope of things. So that's today's episode, to lay it out for you. But the first thing, like I said, that I wanted to discuss is the training camp roster that was released, and I'm gonna read it off in case you missed it. I tweeted this out, but in case you didn't see it, the Wizards training camp roster is 21 players. It's Marvin Bagley, Patrick Baldwin Jr., Sadiq Bey, Leaky Black, Malcolm Brogdon, Jared Butler, Bob Carrington, Justin Champagne, Bilal Coulibaly, Johnny Davis, Keyshawn George, Anthony Gill, Rashawn Holmes, Corey Kispert, Kyle Kuzma, Kira Lewis Jr., Jalen Noel, Jordan Poole, Alex Saar, Jonas Valanciunas, and Tristan Vucevic. That's the 21-man roster for the Wiz. If you don't know, only 15 can be on the active roster on those standard NBA contracts by the start of the season. Now for the Wizards, that means three players can be on two ways, and three players are just going to get outright cut. And so when you take everything into consideration, you got to remember Tristan Vucevic is already on a two-way, and Justin Champagne is already on a two-way. So that kind of condenses it down to 19. That's two decisions that the Wizards really don't need to make. I think both of those guys deserve to be on two-way spots, and are going to stay that way. And that means that there's one two-way spot and 15 regular roster spots open. Still three cuts to be made. Just one of them can be converted into a two-way. Now, when I kind of break it down, I got about 12 people from that, 12 players that I would deem safe, kind of locks to make this roster. That's Jordan Poole, Kuz, JV, Saar, Kispert, Holmes, Bagley, George, Bilal, Bob, Brogdon, and Bey. That's the 12 I think you're going to make it. Now, the one I'm iffy on is Holmes, but at the end of the day, they just kind of gave him a new contract. They have a decent bit of depth down low, but again, I think he's a great asset to the team. He seems in all the videos to be just like a good dude. And they gave him a new contract. They're not going to cut him. I don't think they'll cut Bagley either. So those are the 12 that I think are complete locks to make it. And mentioning the fact that those two guys, Vucevic and Champagne, are on two ways, that leaves you with seven guys pretty much competing for three roster spots. Now there's still one open spot with a two-way, but I'm just going to say for three roster spots. And those seven guys are Anthony Gill, Johnny Davis, Jared Butler, Patrick Bowman Jr., Kira Lewis, Jalen Noel, and Leaky Black. Leaky Black, Noel, and Lewis are camp invites, new guys, not always in the system, like some of these guys have been for the last couple of years. But again, these are solid players. I mean, Leaky Black had a nice stint with the Charlotte. Again, decent defender. Don't think he has anything to add really offensively. But again, he's a decent player. Kira Lewis Jr., I think 13th pick in the 2020 draft. Like he's a highly touted prospect. ACL tear last year, hasn't really gotten it right. But again, really explosive athlete. Good offensive player. I think he can make some noise in camp. And then Jalen Noel, really solid for the Timberwolves for a couple of years, has kind of tried to find his way back to a role the last year or so. But again, I think he's a probably one of the best players, if not the best player of that group that I just named. So I could really see him snagging a roster spot that nobody expects him to. But again, those are three camp invites, so it's gonna be a lot harder for them to kind of prove themselves and show why they need to make the roster over some guys that are maybe winger Dawkins guys or have been here, they traded for or signed. And so that kind of leaves you with those four: Gil, Davis, Butler, and PBJ. Now, look, if you're asking me right now to make my determination on who gets it, and this isn't who I think should get it, let me preface that. This is who I think gets those final three roster spots. I'm going to go with Anthony Gill. I mean, they gave him another contract. It's a vet minimum. And I doubt they're going to do what they did with Taj and just like sign him for training camp. Like, that just doesn't make sense. He's not that valuable to be like, here, stay with us for another 3 months. And then when the season starts, we're going to cut you. Again, I don't think that's going to be the case. I think having a vet like him, someone that's very respected around the locker room, that is essential on a rebuilding team, on a young rebuilding team. And so I think having Anthony Gill around is way more important than a lot of Wizards fans might think, just looking at his skills or stats or age. So I think Anthony Gill makes it. He's the 13th guy. That leaves us with two spots and six players. Again, might be controversial, but you know what's going to happen. Johnny Davis is going to make this roster. I understand he wasn't selected by the new front office. I get it. Should he have been selected at 10? Absolutely not. You know, has he had a great start to his career? The opposite. But again, I don't think the opportunity has been there to really determine if he's a bust or if he's just like a mediocre player or whatever he turns out to be. I think this is kind of that make or break year. Year three, new head coach. You gotta prove yourself. And I think Johnny Davis will get that opportunity, and I think he'll make the team. So I think he's that 14th guy. And then that leaves you with a tough decision. You know, Jared Butler, Patrick Bowman Jr., guys that Butler signed by this front office and had a really strong end to last season when Tyus was hurt. Patrick Bowman Jr. brought over in the Jordan Poole trade has been pretty shaky, pretty inconsistent, but did have a solid final 5 to 6 game stretch at the end of last year. Finally started rebounding the ball, played decent defense, made his shots. Excuse me. So it's kind of like a pick and choose. And again, like I don't think these camp invite guys are going to make it. I don't see them taking them over some of their own. And I think with what Jared Butler was able to do at the end of last year, coupled with the fact that he can kind of slide right in into a backup role, I think it would make sense for the Wizards to take Jared Butler. And even if he's not backing up Jordan Poole, and they're like, we want Bub too, you still need another point guard. You still need another ball handler. You had Poole, Brogdon, Bub. I don't mind bringing Jared Butler back. Again, I think he's a way better player than Baldwin Jr. Lewis, Noel, Black, like, again, I'm not going to be at camp, so I can't, that's what I'm saying, I can't make my own predictions or my own decisions here on who should make it because there's so much to be determined. But I think it's going to be pretty basic. You know, they bring back Gil, bring back Davis, bring back Butler. I think Baldwin Jr. gets maybe they try to convert Baldwin Jr. to a two-way. And that gets a little tricky because you got to kind of clear waivers, I think, and other teams have a chance to snag him. I'm pretty sure that's how it works. And I think the camp invites are the camp invites. You know, they come to camp and, maybe other teams are calling around to the Wiz like, hey, how'd this guy do? And the Wiz will be like, he was pretty solid or he wasn't that great. But again, I think it's going to be pretty basic. So that's my prediction on the roster. The 15 that make it, maybe you convert Baldwin Jr. to a two-way. If not, honestly, I'd rather convert Kira Lewis or Noel to a two-way. So that's kind of where I'm at with the roster entering training camp. So media day was the 30th of September. Training camp began on Tuesday, October 1st. And now the Wizards are in, at the time of recording this, they're in Montreal because they have a Montreal game against Toronto. So that's going to be Sunday, October 6th. Wizards at Raptors. And then the Wizards have, I think, three more preseason games after that. Like two at home, two on the, or two at home, one on the road. Don't quote me on that. But yeah, and then once that happens, those games are pretty scattered. No, I mean, they stretch from the 6th to like the 20th or something like that. And then you reach the 24th. Wizards home opener against Boston. at home, it's going to be probably a 50-50 split. I mean, look, first game for the Celtics, or no, second game, because they play opening night. Second game for the Celtics since they won the ring. It usually, even when the Celtics are like mid, it's usually a 50-50 split at least at Capital One Arena. I mean, if you're a Commanders fan, you know exactly how it is. Like, this has been a staple at FedEx Field for years in terms of you're lucky if it's 60-40 Commanders fans. I mean, it sucks. Like, DC is such like a melting pot for so many different types of people and so many different fan bases from all over. Like, there's so many different fans of different teams in DC. And so not much you can really avoid when you play certain teams. There a lot of their fans are just there. They live in the city, they live in the surrounding areas, and that's how you get a 60-40 split being great for a Commanders game. For the Wizards as well, pretty similar. I would say maybe like 70-30 for some teams, but that's on a good night. And then you go to the Lakers game, it's an away game. Celtics game, it's an away game. Warriors game, it's an away game. Sixers game, usually 50-50. Like, Knicks game, literally an away game. And that sucks, obviously, but like, those teams are all good. They have fans that want to travel to see them, pay money to see them. And you got a team like the Wizards that are expected to be the worst, if not one of the worst teams in the league for the second straight season. And it's going to be like this for a couple more years. So, again, can you blame Wizards fans for not popping out to a home opener? They know they're going to probably lose by 15 or 20 and be amongst road team fans. You can't. And again, I don't think it's anything the Wizards are really doing. Like, they're going to rebuild, and it sucks. But again, if you look at the Commanders, like, this weekend they play Cleveland. They're 3-1. They're first in the NFC East. They're in the playoffs right now. They're on a 3-game win streak, and they finally found that quarterback. Like, everything's going right, and I guarantee you, if this game was played last year against Cleveland, it would be like a 50-50, 60-40 type atmosphere. It's going to be electric now, because the one thing I know will bring Wizards fans back, because it does this across all sports and across all cities, is winning. Winning will bring fans back, and it's going to be a lot of fair weather fans that said, F that, I'm not going to any games or watching when you guys suck, but call me when you guys get good and the games are fun and you win games, then I'm going to come back and then I'll be a fan. And as unfortunate as that is, that's how the world works, really. That's how the sports world works. So, what are you going to do about Boston kind of taking over New York and LA and Philly taking over your home? Win. And that's not going to come right now, and that's why people are dreading this home opener. But again, same time, win games and it won't happen. So, got to put up with it for another couple years at least. So that's that. Obviously, Kispert extension deadline's creeping up in 17 days. It's on the 21st of October. Again, at this point last year, I kind of given up on Denny Avdia agreeing to an extension, and then magically out of nowhere, he agreed to one. So, you never know. They could have a buzzer beater deal again. I think the sides, I don't know if they've started negotiating. I've seen no reporting about it. But at the end of the day, I made my comments known on various episodes of this podcast and through Twitter as well, that I think they should extend him. I think they should, my ideal contract would be 4 years, 44. I think that's very fair. Pretty similar to like Sam Hauser money. Great shooter, can cut, can finally put the ball on the deck, but against the defense, to where are you going to pay that much money for somebody who's pretty one-sided, who plays offense and isn't the best defender? I don't know. So again, I think they should extend him, but just so you know, the 21st of October, the day before the regular season, that's the deadline for the Wizards and Kispert to agree to an extension. If not, then they can't agree to one until the offseason when he's in a restricted free agent. So they still own his bird rights, and if that happens, they don't extend him, you get to the offseason. Basically, that the bird rights aspect means, let's say Corey Kispert signs 4 years, $50 million with Brooklyn. The Wizards have the chance to match it, and all they have to do is say, "Yeah, we match that," and Corey has to sign with them. It's the same thing that happened, if you remember, with Otto Porter. I think in 2016, he signed a max contract sheet with, or max offer sheet with Brooklyn, and it was, I mean, for dumb money, like it was an overpay. But Brooklyn had money; they wanted to go for it, and the Wizards were basically boxed in. Like, we could let Otto go, but like we really need him. As our forward, we have to match it, and they overpaid for him, obviously, but they had to because Brooklyn did it, and the Wizards had his bird right. So, I don't see a similar situation happening where a team overpays Corey Kispert. But again, if that's the case, the Wizards have the chance to match it. And if not, again, they can just kind of let them walk and go about their day. So those are some of the things, just housekeeping to keep up with the upcoming schedule. Now, in terms of media day, I went last year, wasn't able to go this year for a couple of reasons, but I saw a lot of good things. And again, Chase Hughes, Bijan Todd from Monumental did a great job covering and asking questions. Varun, who's now at the Washington Post, definitely recommend following him. I think he took over for Ava on the Washington Post Wizards beat. So, you know, he does great stuff. I'd highly recommend giving him a follow on Twitter. You know, my guy Troy was there. Brandon from Locked On Wizards as well. Troy Halliburton was also there. So, you know, a lot of great coverage, a lot of great quotes and answers that I got. But just a couple of takeaways. Bijan released a story 2 days ago, I think on Wednesday night, that Jordan Poole would be the starting point guard. I'm pretty sure. I mean, it was, I don't know if it was via Brian Keefe or via the team or how it worked out, but Jordan Poole is going to start a point guard. And again, this was expected, obviously, by Wizards fans. I had been saying this for a while now. There's a lot of people that were like, you know, Malcolm Brogdon's going to start a point guard. I think Poole is going to be moved to the shooting guard. Look, that was never going to happen. With how well Jordan Poole played at point guard at the end of last year compared to how poorly, really, he played at the beginning of the year under Wes playing shooting guard, you know, it's pretty easy to see why they made this decision. I mean, look, some stats to back that up. The first 3 months of last season when he was a shooting guard under Wes, 16.5 points per game, 3.5 assists per game, 2 rebounds, and shot 31% from 3. Not great. Jordan Poole's final month of the season at point guard, 21 points per game, 6.5 assists, 3.5 rebounds, 36% from 3. And I'm pretty sure over the last 10, he averaged 22, 8.5, and like 4.5 on like 37% from 3, which is an unbelievable season if that was the entire year. So even though it's a little bit of a small sample size and he had some turnover issues, I think it was like 2.5 per game. Again, he's learning how to be that lead guard. I think he finally figured it out the last 10 games. And really, like, it's great to just see. It's great to see the Wizards kind of letting him go and letting him be free, giving him the ball and kind of having him man the offense, run everything. I think that's gonna turn out well for this team. You know, a team that needs a point guard, needs a lead distributor. This is a guy that's, I think, 25, 24, 25. You know, on a big contract, but you traded for him, and you know it was kind of a ridiculed trade where people were like, "We'd rather you had just waived Chris Paul." Again, that's the dumbest thing ever. You got a second round pick, you got Rollins and PBJ, who were former first at the time, and Rollins didn't work out, PBJ hasn't worked out, but you took a flyer on them, and you have a protected first that turns into a second. So like, and you get Jordan Poole, who is a I think sixth man of the year, I believe, with the Warriors. Won a ring, like, still a really solid player, only 24, 25, 24 at the time you got him. Like, it was a great trade, and there's no debating it. And I think Jordan Poole kind of proved at the end of last year what he could be, and I'm happy that they're giving him another chance this year to kind of to keep proving himself and showing out as the lead ball handler for this team. So that leaves us to the second bullet point, and that's Bub's work ethic, Bub's competitive nature. All the buzz that I've seen about Bub Carrington, I've seen not only through like one conglomerate or like through one source, but it's been across the board. Josh Robbins tweeted about it. Varun tweeted about it. Bijan tweeted about it. Chase tweeted about it. It seems like a consensus thing where, you know, Coach keeps saying how Bub is the most competitive guy on the floor. Malcolm Brogdon, Alex Saar, Kyle Kuzma, Corey Kispert, they're all saying the same thing. Like, Bub Carrington, nicest guy off the court, most fun-loving dude. He gets on the court. I think Corey called him a killer. Like, basically, he's going to go out there to kill, and he's not friends with anybody on the other team. It's just straight, I'm coming out here to make my presence known, to cook you on offense, to play solid defense, and that's what you love to have on a team, especially from a kid who just turned 19. One of the youngest players in the draft, one of the youngest players in this league. He's like that. And I mean, again, like I said, when the Wizards traded for him, if you're going to trade a 22-year-old Denny Avdia coming off a breakout season on one of the best contracts in the league, clearly that player is really good. And And he's showing it pretty early on that he is really, really good. Obviously that's great to see early on, and I think you'll see a lot more of it towards the season. I don't know what his role is going to be. I think a lot of Wizards fans prefer to play him at point guard, which I'd also prefer him to play at. But at the end of the day, I think you're going to have Jordan Poole start. You're going to have Brogdon at the two, and then you got Bub, and I would believe Jared Butler. So that kind of leaves you with who do you want to play the lead guard position in, Butler or Bub? I thought Butler did a great job at point guard. I think he's a really smart player. Finds his teammates well, distributes the ball, gets the offense rolling. But again, I think they've invested so much in Bub, they're just going to keep pouring into him, pouring minutes and time into his progression. And so if they think playing point guard is better for Bub than it would be shooting guard, I think they would just give that to him and be like, all right, Jared, you're going to have to play the backup too. And I think Jared would be fine with that because he's a decent offensive player, a decent shooter as well. So that's the second bullet. The third, it seems like everyone understands how important Valanciunas' rebounding presence down low and all that will be. Everybody said it. I don't even have to name names. Like, across the board, it was known, like, it's going to help so much. The Wizards ranked dead last in the league in rebounding percentage last year. And now they brought in one of the league's most consistent rebounders, a guy that's, a 9, 10, 11 rebound a night guy, who's just going to eat up space down low and be a presence there to body up against bigger dudes like Embiid's and AD's and Steven Adams's of the world that, the Wizards have historically with Daniel Gafford and company struggled with. And so I think JV's presence, the fact that the team already knows how great it is, even before training camp begins, that kind of shows you how great of a signing that was. 3 years, $30 million for one of the league's most consistent centers, a guy that the Lakers wanted, and he opted to go here to be to DC, he said, because they showed from the start they really wanted me. And that was important to him. And I think that's why he's here ultimately on a cheap deal, but nonetheless, he is the player that this team needs down low. And lastly, like, the team chemistry looks great. It seems great. The vibes are great. This is the same thing I noticed at Media Day last year, and they all talked about. Who said it's like the closest group that they've had in DC since he's been here, chemistry wise? And it makes sense. It's a bunch of young, hungry guys kind of wanting to make their mark in the league with no expectations over looming over their head of we need to win. There is none. Honestly, the fan base, if you asked Wizards fans, like, they'd probably prefer the team is as bad as they can be, considering how good the draft class is and considering how bad the roster is compared to the rest of the rosters in the league. So again, I think that's the main thing. Like, yeah, they're young, they're hungry, they're excited, and they're having fun. But I think that's because there are no expectations. It's easy to have fun when you don't have people coming over your head at media asking you, you are 1-8, what's going wrong? It's like, no, this is kind of the plan. This is kind of expected. So we can go out there and have fun. And if we win, we win. If we lose, we lose. Obviously, we're going to try to win. But when there's no expectations of you need to do this, or you need to make it to a certain point, or you need to win a certain amount of games. When that's not hanging over your head, it's easy to have fun. So I think it's pretty easy to see why Kuz said that. So those are kind of my four Media Day takeaways. If you want actual quotes, like the guys I said, Chase Bijan, Varun, Troy, Brandon, they tweeted out a bunch, so I'd go through their Twitters. Again, I wasn't there, so don't want to really take credit for asking any of those questions. Don't want to just take the quotes they got. I think you guys should, visit their page. They do good stuff. But that kind of leads into to the last thing. It's something that I didn't expect to be talking about today. Nonetheless, I ended up finding this on Twitter because it is it's just an article that I stumbled across and I found a quote from it, and the quote's kind of circulated across Wizards Twitter over the last day or two. Honestly, since yesterday, sorry, this was posted yesterday, from Jake Russell. Jake Russell works for the Washington Post, and he wrote an article kind of explaining how Tyler Jones is interested in buying the Nationals, interested in buying more sports teams in the region. And this is something I think has been reported before, when the Learners were looking to sell, and then they weren't looking to sell later on. But it was a great article, so I'd highly recommend. It's at underscore Jake Russell on Twitter. Two S's, two L's, and Russell. I would recommend reading it because it's a great article. And there was an excerpt that he tweeted out from it, and I want to read it out to you now because I think it's important for Wizards fans. I think Wizards fans would want to to listen to it. And this is in regards to the negative reaction to Ted's plans to move the Wizards from DC to Virginia. Obviously, those plans fell apart, but this is his kind of comments surrounding the negative response and feedback from Washingtonians, really, and Wizards fans all around. Ted said, quote, "I understand that some people in the media felt this was a juicy subject to go after. I have to live with it, and I have to live with these people and communicate with these people. And everyone has their problems. I'll use, as an example, Bradley Beal. He was one of our Wizards players. He had a no-trade contract, and he wanted to be traded. He went to Phoenix. When we announced we were moving, he found it necessary to get online and say, 'You're making a big mistake. You shouldn't be moving.' I thought that was gratuitous, but I didn't say anything. They made the playoffs and got swept in the first round. And there's a lot of criticism around Bradley Beal. That's how life is, right? You can criticize. Can you take the criticism back? It's the world we live in." End quote. I mean, that was pretty harsh from Ted. Like, pretty, I don't think he needed to say that, but he did. And clearly, I feel like it was something that's been bugging him for a while. I guess the fact that Brad chimed in as well and was like, "You can't move the team." I don't even remember Brad going on Twitter and saying that, but I guess he did. But yeah, basically, I mean, it's clear that kind of rubbed Ted, I guess, the wrong way in terms of Brad kind of getting on there and saying that after all the years that Ted and Brad had been through. But again, I mean, just a couple comments. Like, this just reminded me of a Dan Snyder quote. And I feel like a lot of people have said that as well. I don't think it needed to be said. I don't think he needed to attack a former player, especially one that has meant so much to the city, to the community. And I mean, take away all that Brad has done on the court, and whether you like him or not, whether you hated the contract or not, he did so much good in the community. It's same for John Wall. Honestly, same for a lot of players that get traded. Daniel Gafford did a lot for the community as well. But like, Brad is going to come back still to DC. I'm sure he still has organizations that he helps out with, charities that he helps out with in DC with his community work. And obviously it didn't end the way you wanted, but like, to take a shot at Brad, I just think there it was kind of unnecessary. And I think from the reaction I've seen from Wizards fans, it was just kind of like, why? Why did you have to make a comment like that? You could just leave that to bed, but he felt like he had to bring it up. So again, I wanted to bring that up to Wizards fans' attention just because I know a lot of fans have specific thoughts on Ted Leonsis and his ownership style, you know, with the Caps, the Wiz, the Mystics, the fact that he wants to buy the Nats. I feel like this is pretty big news. Again, I don't necessarily know if these comments were warranted, but Ted did. And I think a lot of Wizards fans had strong reactions to them. And you can go on Twitter. My guy Damo tweeted something out about it. You know, a bunch of Wizards fans had more serious reaction to this. Again, I'm not going to come out here and make, you know, I agree with Ted, or I agree with like Brad, or either side of that. I'd like to stay neutral on it. I don't want to make a comment for obvious reasons. But again, these comments are pretty out there. He's kind of going at Brad pretty much. It seems like that relationship's kind of severed now. And yeah, that's that. There are the comments. You go read it, make your own decision, and we'll go from there. But I did want to talk about that and mention it at least, because I feel like that's a pretty big deal. But again, I think that's going to wrap this episode up. Again, I talked about the training camp roster being released, who I thought would make the team, who I thought would be the two ways, who I thought would get cut. So discuss that, some upcoming scheduled things. Training camp already began. The Wizards' first preseason game is this Sunday against the Raptors in Montreal. Be on the lookout for that. They'll have three more preseason games after that. Hispert extension deadline is the 21st of October. 24th of October, home opener against Boston. Some media day takeaways. Seems like Poole's going to start at point guard. Bub looks great. Sarr's blocking shots. Chemistry's great. Valanciunas, obviously, is a guy that everyone on the team's excited to play around because of his rebounding and presence down low. Seems like everyone's off to a good start. And obviously, that's what you want. You don't want any big storylines. The team's fully healthy, as Brian Keefe said yesterday. Ish Smith is now a scout for the Wizards, you know, legend. That's also great to see. So yeah, it's going to do it for this episode. We're going to start doing weekly episodes. We do it all throughout the season. I didn't want to do it during the off season just because there wasn't much to talk about and I didn't want to force it. But again, I think we're getting to the swing of things. There's a lot to talk about, and I'm excited to talk about it. So we're going to get into the swing of things and end the habit of doing weekly pods. So again, thanks for listening. Season's getting close. Really excited for it. There's gonna be a lot more content to produce, a lot more pods. So be on the lookout for that. Again, if you've got any questions about the episode, you want to talk to me about anything I said, my DMs are always open. If you ever DM me, you know I always respond pretty quickly. So again, feel free to DM me, talk to me about the pod. But again, it's gonna do it for this episode. Go Wiz.